What's up, everybody? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. It's Gina and I are here. We're going to do some TLC shows for the week, right? Because I tried to go live yesterday and everyone knows that that didn't work. So we're going to talk about some of the TLC shows. Happily Ever After, The Other Way, Seeking Sister Wife, you know, the normal stuff. So on Sunday, we got Happily Ever After, Gina. That was when Darcy was fighting with Georgie, apparently, and Georgie said some fighting words to Darcy and Stacey. He said that they were broke women who didn't have any money because they spent all their money on clothes. That was kind of rude, right? That was a little rude.
Yeah, it was, but maybe he just wanted to, like, bring out to the world, like, they're just playing a facade.
I mean, I thought if they spent a lot of money, it wasn't on clothes. It was more so on plastic surgery, right? Like, I didn't know that they were spending a whole bunch of money on clothes. I thought it was more so, like, random.
Well, they do get these operations, surgeries in different countries. Like, in Turkey, where it's a one-stop shop, right? So they do everything for you. And we've seen it on when Darcy and Stacey had their own show. We've seen them do the operation to get whatever done and whatever done and whatever done, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, Darcy and Georgie have never gotten along, right? Like, as long as I can remember, they've always bickered. So none of this is new to me. And, you know, I think that Georgie said he wanted to buy property in Bulgaria and go there alone or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people online were like, wait, Darcy doesn't own anything? Because she tries to put on this, like you said, facade of being really rich and living this insanely amazing life. But she is renting an apartment in Miami. Everyone's like, what? She doesn't even own a condo. So people are a little shocked that she doesn't actually own any property or whatever. And I mean, some people do spend a lot of money on things that they shouldn't, you know, like she's probably spent more money on plastic surgery. She could own a property, right? But like you said, in Turkey, it's not as expensive as it is here in the US, but still, that still adds up, you know, when you go and get this done, this done, this done, this done, and you keep going back, it adds up. You know,
well, apparently I was reading like somewhere when they first started doing these surgeries, or Turkey became famous for these surgeries, allegedly they will put you in a hotel. They like it's an all-inclusive package, basically. Like, you know how you get a spa package, like with massage, with foot massage. When they go to Turkey, when people get different services done in Turkey, it's like an all-inclusive package. It's like a vacation package almost.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So like when you get off the plane, do they send like a car to pick you up? And then
yes.
Really? That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
When you put
depending on the clinic, right? Like you pay for the shuttle service, you pay for the hotel, you pay. It's like all inclusive, basically. It's like going to Mexico, but for surgeries.
That's actually kind of cool. Like, cause I do all inclusive, Gina. I do like all inclusive where I don't have to worry about, you know, other incidentals and stuff popping up. So, I mean, I guess if they put it in a nice little package and put a little bow on it like that, that is kind of appealing, right? Even to me, like, I'm not going to go over there and get any surgery, but I do like the idea of having a one-stop shop where I don't have to worry about anything. Like, you know, when you get on a plane, you got to worry about how am I going to go from the airport? Where am I going to stay? How am I going to get here? Like, there's all these things you have to worry about. I guess when you take all the worry out of it, you can put more worry into how big your boobs should be, right? Like, that's the only thing you got to worry about.
Exactly. And like, I think they even have like, I think it's like extra for like to have nurses and stuff like that look after you and stuff like that. But still.
Well, speaking of extra, so Jasmine and Matt were on tonight and they were in a clothing store looking for baby clothes. And obviously Jasmine crashed out and started screaming at Matt. And Matt realized in that moment that Gino was describing to him who Jasmine really is, because he was like, wait a minute. He was like, the way you act is what Gino described, and that's probably why he never wanted to touch you. And that triggered Jasmine even more, because the truth triggers people in ways you would never believe. But I think it's funny that it took Matt so long to discover that Jasmine is an evil succubus. Like, I was like, whoa, you're just figuring this out now? Like, she hasn't been yelling at you this whole time, because I feel like that's kind of the only tone that she uses with people is yelling. So Matt is just now catching up with us. So now he can actually read our tweets and understand what we've been trying to say this whole time.
Exactly. So, and it's funny, like, it's just like, oh, welcome to the real world.
Did you hear him when he said that in order to look after people and take care of people and be someone's security, the way he was raised, you had to be a man? Did you hear that? He said that, like, in order to look after your siblings or your family, you have to be a man. So he said that he doesn't believe that women, like the way that Matilda's a girl, if since she would be the oldest of his children, he doesn't feel like she would be able to look out for the other kids, which I think is really idiotic, because the oldest in my family is my sister. She's the oldest, and then there's two boys. I'm the youngest, and she always looked out for us. Like, she was always the second mom. She always took care of us. She cooked for us. She helped us. She picked me up from school. Like, she was always there. So I really don't know what type of culture he grew up in where he feels like women are incapable of being protectors and to give people a feeling of security and safety, because I was raised by two women and I felt very protected and very safe. So I don't know what he's talking about.
It's a European, he's Romanian, so it's like a European culture, right? So unfortunately, like, and that he doesn't know any less because that's what his dad taught him, right? These mannerisms didn't come from just anywhere. So we're like, where he's showing his a chauvinistic side or whatnot. So unfortunately, it's a lot common than what you think, unfortunately, because my older siblings were boys, and I grew up with boys all my life, surrounded by them all the time. And I was such a tomboy because of it. My mom hated it. And I think I replied to one of your tweets saying that as well. I was such a tomboy. But you can thank my brothers because of that. But if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know how to do a lot of things. I wouldn't know how to play hockey. I wouldn't know how to do so many things. That usually, like, I would love playing in the dirt and collecting snails and like just being out in the dirt, right? Versus wearing pretty dresses and playing with dolls because, like, it was the way I was brought up. So at the same time, like, I unfortunately, it is very old school mind frame because my dad's the same way. I wanted to play soccer when I was a kid. When I was a little girl, and he said, no, girls don't play soccer, right? Boys play soccer. And it's just like, well, what sport do I
Yeah,
do?
that's crazy. When I was in school, when we did PE, we all had to play everything. We played basketball, baseball, soccer.
Oh, yeah, no, in school, but let's say outside of like your school activities in PE class, right? They had leagues to play baseball or soccer or whatever. And I wanted to play soccer. And then my dad's like, no, girls don't play soccer.
Oh, well,
Yes.
that's
So
terrible.
it's, I know because it's, they don't like it's the mind frame that they've grown like these men have grown up with. My brothers are different. They don't have that mind frame, right? But my dad, because he grew up in the 40s, has that mind frame. And I'm assuming his parents have like Matt's parents have that mind frame too, and his grandparents had that mind for that frame of mind, like a woman's supposed to be home just cooking and cleaning, right? So it's very like absent-minded, it's very shallow, like, and everything. And I just get pissed off when my dad would be like, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
Well,
It's a, it's for boys.
it's different now, right? Like, they don't play anymore, right?
No, right? Well, what are they going to say? Like, I can't join soccer now at 40 something years old, but I'll still play soccer, right? But not for a league, obviously, but I wanted to join in like a team, like a soccer team. right? But my mom just thinks that he was just lazy and just didn't want to take me to soccer practices, which makes sense too.
I mean, they are like 5 days a week for practice. It's really, so I do understand that. It's like these sports are really intense. You know, sometimes they're like 7 days a week. And if you play football, sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning, like it can get intense. So I get it. Your dad might have been looking at it as, I'm not getting up at 4 in the morning to take her to the soccer field. Like he could have looked at it like that and was like, nah,
Yeah, we
already,
ain't doing that. And he
already,
worked construction. And he
boys.
worked construction. He worked construction, right? So he was working all day, heavy labor. He wasn't taking me to no soccer after school or whatnot. Hell no.
I mean, yeah, I get it. Oh, so Yara, Jovi, Lauren, and Alexi, they all went to their little Lake Placid trip and we saw their little scenes. And I guess the biggest part of it was Jovi kind of told Yara that she didn't look as beautiful when she was younger than she does now, and she took offense to it. So he basically was saying, pre-surgery, you know, you didn't look your best. And I'm not sure why he would say that. You know, no woman ever wants to hear she wasn't pretty. You know, that, and I don't know, I don't care what guy is gonna argue with me. No woman wants to hear she wasn't pretty. Even if she wasn't, you know, she doesn't want to hear it. So, you know, when the drinks start flowing and people start saying how they really feel, this is how fights start, right? So Yara was like really hurt by that. And she was like, you're the last person who should be talking about anyone's looks. And they start going back and forth, attacking each other. And it got kind of ugly. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, they let petty stuff like that get to them because I thought they were like the happy couple. So it's a little interesting to see Yara and Jovi going at it because they usually, you know, don't have much drama, right? The most drama we ever saw was he went to the strip club too much. And I think he took her to the strip club and then she got mad at him. That was like the most drama we saw. So it was interesting when she was trying to say he was ugly because I was like, yo, don't be calling each other ugly. That's toxic, right? That's toxic. Don't be doing that. So it was funny to see them going back and forth.
While at the same time, what she's supposed to say if he's telling her, "Oh, you looked like this when you were this, like pre-surgery or whatever, you weren't beautiful or anything like that." What is she supposed to say? Like, sit there and shut up? Hell no! Like, good for her for sticking up for herself and being like, you know what, you ain't that attractive either. Like, you look like Elmer Fudd. Like, are you serious right now?
I mean, yeah, if someone's attacking you, the first thing you're gonna do is defend it. You're defend yourself. And you know, it's never, like I said, it's never okay to tell someone that you don't like the way they look, especially the person that you married. Because when you did your vows, you told them you did. And you when you accept them, you accept every look they ever had, even the one before surgery. So that wasn't a cool thing to say, but you know, when you take a few drinks and you start talking and you're playing
And
never.
the truth always comes out when you're drunk.
He spilled the beans that he thought Yara didn't look her best in her earlier years when, you know, we've seen the pictures of pre-surgery Yara and, you know, she looked a little rougher than she does now. But, you know, I don't think that her husband should say that. Like I said it, but we don't live together. You know, like I don't have to fight with her over. Like I think her husband should say the opposite of what I just said. You know, like that's crazy.
Exactly,
All right.
exactly. So,
$76,000, Gina. That's the amount that Gino said that he spent on Jasmine since they've been together. A lot of money, right? $76,000. That's a lot.
that is a lot. That is a lot. But we have to, we have to think about what exactly is being accounted for, because he's just putting in numbers, but not really going into detail, like whatever for this and whatever for that, whatever for this, because it's a lot more if you don't count the big, like the big list items.
Well, I think he's including, well, he's saying it's an all-in price, right? So I'm saying I think the hair extensions, one of the butt cheeks for the BBL, because you know he only paid for one. The wedding dress, the wedding, the K-1 visa, her permanent residency card. I
The
think he's
rent in Panama.
Yeah, the rent for when she was in Panama, where she demanded to live in the nicest building that she could find where her ex Dane lived. I think he's, this is an all-in price. He spent $76,000, and he said that he actually has went to immigration to discuss that she defrauded him and it wasn't a real marriage. And he said that when he applied for the paperwork for her permanent residency card, that's when she started dating Matt. And he thinks that it's not a coincidence that she started looking for new male suitors right around the time that she had her own permanent residency and she didn't necessarily need him anymore. And he thinks that, you know, that makes it look like she was, you know, frauding him allegedly. Do you think that Jasmine was frauding him? Like, I think I know the answer, but do you think that Jasmine had other plans when she got here? With Gino, do you think that Gino was not her end game?
Oh, heck yeah, she had other plans. Like, she's a conniving, manipulating snake.
Nah, I agree with you. Like 199,000%. Like, I agree. I think that she definitely had a plan, and I think Gino was not. You know how the plan has like five or six steps? Gino was just like step one. And I think that she, you know how it's like they call it the ladder. You know, you're climbing the ladder. Gina was just the first step of her climb of the ladder. She had other.
It's like the Drake song started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, she started from the bottom and now she's a mom with Matt. And I guess she said that they're buying a house together on Instagram. And also, she said that she's bringing her two kids over here and Matt is going to adopt them and be their new dad. That was the latest Jasmine information that she posted on her Instagram if you missed it. So Jasmine is saying that after the $76,000 that, you know, Gino invested in her new life, she is now all in with Matt, gonna be buying a house with Matt and having, well, already had a kid with Matt, and he's
So
gonna.
she's buying the house. She's like, she's obviously having the kid because where's his source of income coming from?
Well, I think he has a job. I think, okay, so I last I heard he was a tow truck driver. Yeah, so I guess he's gonna contribute in some way, but you know, I'm pretty sure the down payment is coming directly from Jasmine because don't you need like a 50 or $60,000 down payment? That's coming from Jasmine, I'm pretty sure. Hopefully he'll cover some of that mortgage, right? Hopefully, but you know, at the end of the day, how would we know? Oh, so speaking of men who don't contribute, so on the other way, Manon and her husband, Anthony, got to France and they moved into this tiny little bedroom with their child in her mom's house. And she's really realizing that, you know, I didn't say it, but she keeps saying that she's like a failure because she moved back home and, you know, this is where her life has taken her. And I want to feel bad for Manon because it's definitely not easy for someone to move back home and admit defeat, right? I feel like she admitted defeat. But at the end of the day, I feel like she could have just kicked her husband out of the house and stayed, you know, independent. You know, I think that her husband is 95% of the problem. And I think that, you know, running from your problems is never going to solve your problems. So even if she went to the other side of the world to her mom's house, it's still not going to solve the fact that her husband is just not contributing enough to make the relationship work. So, like, Gina, would you ever consider being in a marriage with a man who never is going to contribute any revenue or income to the relationship? It's always going to be you. Even if you have to move back in with your parents, he's not going to get a job to.
No, that would be a red flag for me. Like, oh, I'm sorry. So you're basically a bum. Basically, you're a homeless bum who you're going to depend on me to bring in the money. Hell no. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out.
Well,
Goodbye. And
he
I
does.
don't care how well he rocked her world. All right.
He
Like, goodbye.
does take care of their child, which a lot of people online were like, well, that it's not babysitting if it's your baby. And I'm like, no, that's true. You can't say, I take care of this baby, but it's your baby. So, you know, you can't get babysitting rights or claim it as your babysitting when it's your child. It's kind of your responsibility to take care of your child. But at the end of the day, you know, I know a lot of single mothers. I was raised by one who managed to work two jobs and take care of three kids. So when I hear Anthony say, you know, raising this one child is hard and while not having a job, I was like, well, I would love for you to meet some single moms who have two jobs and raise multiple children because you're complaining and they do it every day. They get up every morning and they suck it up and they go to work and they give these kids the best possible life that they can. And you just wake up every morning and hope that your wife goes to work. You know, there's not, you're not the same, right? Like
Well,
you're.
like I said before, he can go into night shift. He was a security guard before. Like she can work in the daytime, he can work at night.
Yeah, the opposite shifts, I think, was the complete answer and resolution to their issues. So the fact that he was just like, oh, well, daycare is expensive, so I just can't work. And I was like, yes, you can. I was like, if your wife is going to be home at night, then you can go to work. And I was like, and this is only until your child gets old enough to go to school. So it's not forever, you know, but in those earlier years, you know, a lot of couples, you know, have to sacrifice time with each other to make sure that they make enough money to make ends meet. And I think that he's just not committed enough to the relationship to care about who pays what. Because I think at the end of the day, he's so used to just showing up to a house and living in it and not having to contribute. He just doesn't care. Because I was like, you're moving into her mom's house, and instead of like offering to contribute, you're just like, I'm just gonna move in here and live here for free and I don't feel bad at all.
You're just going to be a couch surfer.
Yo, like you could at least, you know, contribute in some way. Like you're just gonna move into somebody else's house and just exist in their home and not even like want to contribute. Like what happened to pride and shame, Gina? Like what
He
happened to
don't have any. He don't have no pride.
I would be very ashamed if I had to move into a woman's mother's home and I just didn't contribute. Not only could I not, but I didn't even attempt to contribute. I'm just living in this lady's mom's house and just didn't even feel bad. Like, I don't know. I was raised to have shame, right? Like, that's a shameful thing. Like, I wouldn't do that. And I definitely would feel embarrassed if people knew that I was doing that. And I kind of feel like he's like happy about it, right? Like, I feel.
George, we already know. They can't live in France forever. He's not a French citizen. We already know what the prerequisites are for him to be in a live in France.
Well, we know that he can't work, but we also know that I think you said that it was how many years did they have to be there before he could even apply for anything? Was it like 4?
Like they have to be married for 2 to 3 years, and then he has to know basic French, and like it's all these prerequisites. The maximum amount of time you can stay there without being a citizen, I think, is like 2 to 3 months.
Oh, so they're just on vacation because,
Basically, that's what, like, I'm telling you.
well, not him. His whole life is a vacation, but Manon is basically on vacation because she does have a job. She does work. So, yeah, I think that this whole situation is ridiculous. And if she thinks that this was going to solve all her problems, she's just as delusional as he is at the end of the day, right? Because I was like, if you think this is going to solve all your issues, you're just as delusional as he is because he thinks that y'all's problems are solved by moving into your mama house. And like you think that all of your problems are solved by moving to a country that doesn't accept you for who you are. So I was like, you both have some delusions that you probably need to work out.
And then watch, they're gonna, like, I can see it now. And then you're gonna be like, dang, she was right. In the future episodes, it's gonna be like, oh, we have to go back. We didn't know about the whole visa thing. We didn't know about this. I can envision it now. Like them going like, oh, we didn't know he had to do this and we didn't know he had to do that, so we're gonna have to move back. Just watch. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. And then they're gonna show a spin-off, 90 Day Fiance or whatever. They're gonna show that's kind of how we got Sarper and Shikar Shikana Sakarper And Ariella and Binium, they all do the same thing. They blindfully go on vacation to a foreign country and pretend they're moving. And then they find out they can't stay there, or they don't want to stay there, or a combination of the two. And then they move back to the US where they already had applied for a K-1 visa. So the next step, I think, would be they're going to say on the show, oh, we didn't realize that. Anthony can't stay here because, you know, just because we're married doesn't make him a citizen. And then they're going to have to go back to the US. And
You've got it. You've got it.
then their issues will be amplified because either way, and it doesn't matter what country he's in, he's not going to work. He's very comfortable not working, and he doesn't care that it's shameful and it's sad that he makes his wife work 150 hours a week. He doesn't care at the end of the day. So it doesn't matter what country they live in, he ain't going to work. Kind of like
So
Matt. Madeline.
he can stay up to 90 days within any 100-day period without a visa.
But he might have a visa, though. We don't know.
Yes, but if long stay visa required for any stay exceeding 90 days, you must apply for and receive a long stay visa from the French consulate or embassy in your home country before your departure. And there's different types of long-term visa, but we're not going to get into that today. We can jump into Luc and Madeleine. So you can go ahead.
Yeah, so we saw that her in the filming, her little beauty salon was still open, but you know, we on the other podcast with Shibuti, we discovered that it closed around December of last year. But it was supposedly open during filming. But if you noticed, her only customer was her mom. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that it was a pop-up shop. They only used it when they were filming, and that it wasn't like a legitimate business. Because did you see the video that Shibuti posted on his Instagram? It was of her eating like peanut butter with
It
her.
was Nutella.
Oh, was it Nutella?
It
Like,
was a type of Nutella.
so would you want someone who eats Nutella with her fingernails to do your nails?
Ew, not with my fingernails, but I used to eat Nutella from the jar too. So,
But not with your finger, though, probably with a.
no, with a
Because.
spoon.
Yeah, you have home training, Gina. You didn't just stick your nail in there. You at least put it on a spoon first. Like, and then those were the hands that she would be using to do people's nails, Gina. You would go in there and she would be using the Nutella fingers to do your nails. Like, I don't know. I think that she also said that she made $4,800 that month. So I don't believe it. I would need to audit the books. I don't believe that. I think that she's embellishing a little bit.
Yeah, I think she's in cahoots with her, the wedding planner, and I think they're just trying to scam more money out of him.
Well, I think that the well is running dry, though. I think that she's probably drained him completely. And that's usually
Yeah,
what.
because he's to her, he's a walking ATM.
Well, he's not telling her everything. He keeps lying about, you know, working and his savings and everything. And I think that he showed up there, he said on the episode with $3,000 total, is what he said. And that was the $3,000 that his dad gave him. And I think he went over there with no money at all, but his dad's money. And I think when the well runs dry, she's gonna kick him to the curb. I think that that's why she made sure that everything that he did for her, he put in her name, like all of the businesses, the apartment she wants to get, everything she wants has to be in her name. So when he's broke, she can kick him to the curb and introduce the next sucker to help pay for everything. I think that what's weird to me is that he hasn't caught on that what's going on at this point because they were arguing back and forth. He's like, oh, I sent money for this. I sent money for this. I sent money for this. I was like, don't you see the issue is you're always sending her money?
Sending money.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
The relationship shouldn't just consist of you sending her money. I get it. There are situations where people help each other, but where's the situations where she's ever helped you? It's always you're sending her money, you're paying rent, you're doing this, you're buying this. Like, I couldn't imagine. And then when he doesn't send it, or if there's an issue, she cusses him out and screams at him and tells him how stupid she thinks he is. And it's like, can you imagine just being treated like a walking, human, breathing ATM machine? Like, that would really destroy me. Like, to not. see me as having feelings or as a person. I'm just a person that you can get money out of. And if I don't send you money, you yell at me. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
I don't get their relationship. I don't get the appeal of her, right? Like, she kind of reminds me of Jasmine, right? Like, it's like she's always upset. She's always angry. She's always yelling. She's always in a bad mood. And it's like, why are men attracted to women that are always angry and mean and upset and always in a bad mood? It's like, I need you to be happy at least some of the time to make it worthwhile. You know, like, is there ever a moment where you're just smiling and happy, or are you just always yelling at people?
Yeah, she's only like smiling and happy when she's getting money out of him.
And I think the well is running dry. I think this is his last season of him taking care of her. I think that at this point, he ain't got no more money to give. And I think the second she realizes that the money is gone, she's gonna send him packing. Because I don't remember he said that he used to have an apartment out there that he rented out as an Airbnb. I'm wondering if he still has that. Because I was like, if you don't have anywhere to go when you run out of money, what if she kicks you out? Where are you going to go? Because the apartment will be in her name, because everything that you did for her, she made sure you were left out of it. So I was like, you could be over there homeless if you don't do this right.
Exactly.
Oh, so Greta got rid of her cat in this episode, and it was really triggering for me because she's getting rid of her cat Hazel so she can be with Matthew, who seems to be, I don't like to use the word a loser, but he lives with his mom and dad, and he does work, so he's not as much of a loser as Anthony. But he doesn't seem to be taking the relationship like seriously. Like, he didn't actually prepare anything for her. She doesn't have anywhere to put her vegan food because there's meat all over the kitchen of the house. And he was supposed to be looking for an apartment for them to move into before she got there, and he never did. So it kind of just seems like she's sacrificing everything because she's a lawyer, a pet lawyer, right? I think a pet attorney. And
A pet lawyer, yeah.
she's sacrificing her career, which she went to school for, because where she's going, where's she going? England? Is it?
England.
Yeah, England. She can't practice law there because when you go across, count countries, and actually in the United States, when you practice law, your law degree is only the bar exam you take is only good in the state you take it in, I believe. So she's not able to work and use the degree that she earned also she can be with this guy. And I feel like she's sacrificing everything. And my question was, what is he sacrificing? I don't think he's sacrificing anything, right?
Nothing.
If the relationship
Nothing.
work, what did he lose? Absolutely nothing. And I think that's when you're sacrificing everything, I think both people need to compromise. If only one person is compromising and sacrificing, I think it's a recipe for disaster. I think that if you're not both compromising or giving something up, it's so much easier for one person to walk away because they're literally still whole. They didn't lose. Like, she gets over there and he decides that he doesn't want to deal with her anymore, he can just kick her to the curb and his life will be exactly the way it was before she got there. But her life won't be. And I think that that's too much of a compromise or risk for me. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either.
It's, yeah. So that was the other way. We're back down to an hour. So the season is going pretty slowly. But after that episode, Seeking Sister Wife came on. So I
Well,
wanted.
we didn't talk about Johnny and Chloe. Wait, Chloe.
Oh, right. So Chloe moved to Johnny's place and he has gas stove or a gas kitchen. And she's scared of it, which I think I talked about this on the other podcast. I'm kind of scared of gas stove.
Me too. Me too.
So
Yeah.
yeah, not gonna come after her for that because I actually agree. And I told this story on the other podcast. I almost burned my childhood home down because of a gas stove, because I was trying to cook and our stove, there was something wrong with it. So you know when you turn it and it clicks and it lights, that wasn't working. So you had to like light it with a match. And
Yeah, that's like it when I go to Portugal, that like it's all gas stoves and they scared the living bejesus out of me. I don't trust myself with them.
well, you know what's scary about gas, Gina? You can't see it. That's super scary. Like, if you don't believe in ghosts, gas is the closest to a ghost there is, because it's an evil, dangerous thing that you can't see. Like, that's really, really scary. And you never know if a room is filled with gas or not because you can't see it. And so,
No.
I'm not coming for you because I agree with you 100%. It's super scary. And I know a lot of people will argue and be like, oh, it's not as much of a risk as you're making it out, but risk is a
If
risk.
you had a bad experience before or traumatizing experience, you don't want to experience that again. And I think when I was reading your tweets, you had mentioned like she just wants to dine out all the time and stuff like that. Portuguese food's not healthy, yo. Like we use a lot of olive oil. Our foods are very fatty.
Yeah, she wants to eat out. She said when she's usually out in Aruba, she eats out every day. And I was like, well, in order to stay in shape, and it looks like Johnny eats pretty healthy, right? I think he has to be eye candy at his job, right? I think that's the whole purpose of it. He entertains drunk girls all day. So I think that in order for him to stay eye candy for his job, he can't be eating out every day. He's gonna have to eat some healthy food, and the healthiest food usually comes from your own kitchen, right? Like, that's the one. When you're trying to eat healthier, you're trying to lose weight, the first lesson you learn is the healthiest food comes from your own kitchen because you know exactly what's in it. Because when you go to a restaurant, you can even order a salad. This is so interesting. When I was trying to lose weight, I went to a restaurant and I was gonna order a salad. And I looked at the ingredients and the calories of the salad. The salad was 1300 calories and the steak was 1100 calories because they put a lot of unhealthy stuff in the salad. And I was just like, wait, how is that possible? But then I realized that they were using blue cheese dressing, they were using blue cheese crumbles, they were using bacon, they were putting a lot of eggs, they're putting a whole bunch of extra unhealthy stuff in the salad. So it appeared like I was ordering something healthy, but I was actually ordering something that had more calories than the steak and potatoes.
Yeah, you just have to play it smart, right? So, like, if I get a salad, I'm like, carefully looking at the ingredients, no dressing, grilled chicken or grilled prawns, no dressing on the side, no cheese, right? So I'm very particular and cautious. Now, if I'm going for a steak or like a fish, like then I'll go with like a grilled salmon, rice, or like steamed veggies. I'm boring like that now, unfortunately. I'm no
Well,
fun.
eating healthy is, it's not a fun game, but taking control of your life and your health and extending your life, because health is literally extension of life. That's literally what it does for you. It's not supposed to be fun, but your reward is amazing, right? Improving your health and extending your life and looking amazing and feeling amazing, that's the reward. So a lot of people are like, oh, it seems really difficult. I was like, well, if you don't see the reward in it, then you'll never get it. Because for the long time, I fought eating healthy, I fought exercise, I fought diet, and then I would go to the doctor, and the doctor was like, well, you're gonna have to figure this out because you might not be here to fight, right? Like, you're gonna have to figure this out, and then you have to see how important it really is.
Am I going to make you mad? Because you know how many steps I'm at today? I'm at over 25,000 steps. But you probably do that in a day at Disney. 26,527 steps.
God, where did you go today? Like,
I
what
didn't. I was just on the exercise bike.
for that many steps? That's
Yeah.
Jesus, that's insane. I don't even know. I'm not wearing any tracker, but I'm probably between 2 and 3,000 for the day, maybe. Like, I haven't done anything all day. So yeah, that's very impressive.
Yes, yesterday I had 7,000, the day before 17, right? And so, but I was also like getting over a cold too last week. So it was like, it was not my finest moments, but hey, I lost some pounds while I was sick. So I was just like, I need to be sick more often.
Yeah, being sick is the best diet I've been on. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm like, I could be sick more often. I'm like, holy shit.
I know, right? Because the whenever I get sick, I can't eat, I can't get out of bed, I'm miserable. But when I do get better, I usually have lost 3 or 4 pounds and I'm like, "Woo, this is a good diet." You know, like I like this diet. I didn't have to do anything but lay in the bed and I lost weight. So yeah, being sick is
All I did was like eat soup. That was it.
if you can even keep it down, right? Like sometimes
I
you
can't. Well, it was only like a nasal cold and cough. It wasn't like a stomach flu or anything like that.
Oh,
I
so.
wasn't throwing up or a fever. It was just a cold, a
Oh,
common cold.
it's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, Chloe and Johnny are living together. Do you have any predictions how it's going to go? Because a lot of people were under the impression that Johnny was probably going to cheat on her. But I think as we are watching the previews and we're watching it play out, they think that she might actually be the problem. Chloe, do you think that that might be the case?
I think they're both toxic for each other because he's a lot older than she is, and his expectations are a lot higher. Like cook at home, like be a housewife. His expectations of her is quite higher, where she's just like, "I'm on vacation. Let's party. I'm in Aruba. Let's go." And I think that's what her expectations are.
Yeah, you're right. When you go somewhere and you're on vacation mode, it's different when you live there and you're in a relationship. And I think you're right. I think she's gonna go there thinking that it's drink every night, party every night, live your best life every night. And this is everyday life for him, right? Like this
Yeah.
is how he lives, makes a living. This is where his family is, his friends are. No, this isn't vacation mode, and he's gonna want her to be a little more serious. And I think at her age, you know, it's difficult to get somebody that age to be serious about anything, which I think is really weird why she wants to be in a relationship at all. I was like, because she's so young and she had such a good life where she was back in Massachusetts. I don't even know why she wanted to give it all up for a relationship at that point. Like, she's young. Like, why does she want to settle down?
Because, like you said, young and stupid. That's why.
Very stupid, right? Because I feel like her life was perfect the way it was. You know, living with her mom, working with her mom, making good money, you know, not having a care in the world. And you want to trade that in to live somewhere where there's no hot water, Gina? No hot water? Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. Young, stupid, and naive.
Yeah, it's very naive. So I think that she'll be right back in Massachusetts before we know it. Actually, Shibuti said that she
She
already
already is,
is.
because I've seen pictures.
Yeah, she's not even in Aruba now. So I think we know where that story goes. And actually, Shibuti said that he doesn't think that we're ever going to see her again on the show. He thinks they're going to be a one and done. But you know, Johnny was on the show already. We already figured that out. He was on with Tania back on her season of The Single Life. But he thinks that Chloe won't be making another appearance. So we'll see. We'll see how
We'll
it.
see. She can be on the single life.
She could be. She's cute. I feel like she would be fun to watch, right? And I feel like that's what she should be doing. She should be out dating, not trying to go get married, right? I feel like she's too young to be playing house with somebody. I think she should go out and date and live her best life and find out what she wants and who she is before she moves to another country for a man that she barely knows, right? But what do I know? I'm not a counselor or anything. I'm just saying.
Oh, I feel you. Okay, now seeking sister wives.
So what is your favorite thing about this season? So my favorite thing about this season of Seeking Sister Wife is Reese. So Reese is with
Yeah, he's an oddball.
So Reese is really funny because him and Billie Jean are looking for a sister wife. Billie Jean wants like somebody to help her around the house and to be her friend, and Reese is looking for somebody to have more kids. And what's weird to me is Reese definitely comes across as someone who might be bisexual, but
Yeah, my radar is going off with that.
he completely denies it, and that just throws like a weird wrench in everything for me because you know it's 2025 and no one cares about gender, sexuality, orientation. We don't care about that. It's not important. You know, it doesn't make a difference who, what, when, where, or how, you know, what people want to do with their lives or who they want to love. We don't judge people for that. So it's really weird for me that he's so adamant that he's totally straight. Because I remember they were at the restaurant, and him and his wife, Billie Jean, and his best friend were both there. And he was like, "Oh, well, the biggest issue for me is most women assume that I'm gay." And then he paused, and he was waiting for his wife or his best friend to interject, and they didn't. They both just shook their heads like, "Oh yeah, they sure do." And I was like, "Oh, so even your wife and your best friend both agree that's really the thing." And then actually Billie Jean said her dad, the first impression he had of Reese was he was gay. So everybody was just as confused as we were. And I do know, I've spent enough time in Los Angeles to know that you can't determine a person's sexuality based on how they look or talk or act, because it is a, I think the term metrosexual that came out a long, long time ago is where that term had to teach people, like, hey, don't assume that what people consider their orientation to be based on how they look, act, or dress. And that is what came to mind when I was looking at him. But I was like, still though, even with that word existing, I still feel like there's something going on there, Gina. There's definitely something going on there.
Yeah, my radar was like, is he? Nah, he can't be straight.
Well, he say he is, and he's seeking a sister wife, because everyone on Twitter was like, anybody else confused why they're seeking a sister wife and not a brother husband? And I was like, yeah, I'm confused too. This is confusing for me. I mean, I respect whatever he says is going on. I know that nobody can tell anybody what their orientation is, but I was like, at the end of the day, I want a lie detector test. Like, I just need the truth, Gina. I just need to know the truth. Can we just hook him up to a lie detector test and ask him just one time, just so we know, just for my own peace of mind, just so I
Just go on, Maury.
Yeah, like just for my own peace of mind. I don't care either way. Like I said, I respect him regardless, and whatever he is or chooses to be, but just for my own peace of mind, just to know that I'm not wrong. Right? It's more so about me, right?
Yeah, I need that reassurance because then I will just be doubting myself. But I can normally tell the difference. I'm pretty good at between the metrosexual and a gay or bi man, because or woman or whatever floats your boat, I'm not gonna discriminate. But my radars are pretty on target.
I mean, yeah, mine too. I'm usually really good at it, and this one is the one that threw me for a loop. And I was like, I'm gonna watch this season if not just for Reese and Billie Jean. Like, everybody else could literally bring nothing to the table. I'm fully invested in this.
Me
Because I'm like,
too.
first of all, how is he gonna convince women that he's straight to bring them into the situation to make them a sister wife? Because that would take some convincing in itself, right? Like, not convincing them to be a part of a polyamorous relationship, but you gotta convince them first that you are a part of a straight polyamorous relationship. That's a whole convincing in itself.
Exactly. So it's just like it's a head scratcher, that's for sure.
Yeah, not too many things make me scratch my head and lift my eyebrow. And this story, this, I was just like, I'm locked in. Because I gotta know how this goes, because now I really, oh, and you know what else? Nick, April, and Jennifer are back. I think the Davises are their name. They've been on the show
Yes, that's
before,
correct.
and they were on with Danielle, and then we found out that Danielle, who we she was a part of their relationship, and then when they were trying to add, I think a fourth or a fifth, I can't remember now. She wasn't ready to expand, so she ended up leaving. And now they're dating a girl named Teresa, who happens to be a rapper. Did you
Yeah.
catch that? Yeah.
I think that's all for fame. I like this rapper is like going at the bottom of the barrel of the TLC like junkyard basically to get any clout.
I was,
But
show me a, play some of the song, please. I was like, I need to hear it. Okay, so the weird part is that she's known them for years and she was a Facebook friend, and then she kind of weaseled her way into their relationship. Like, I don't know what that means by that, though. Like, I don't know if she saw them on Seeking Sister Wife and then friended Nick on Facebook, or if like they physically knew each other. like, I don't know the deal, but she knew them already. And then when she found out that they were seeking again, she kind of inserted herself. And Teresa told them that she'd already loved Nick. So they added her into the family. And I'm pretty locked into this storyline as well, because I'm just really confused by how they make it work. Because, the Merrifields, for instance, have been trying for almost a decade and they haven't been able to make this work. But Nick and Jennifer and what's her name? April have seemed to not only make it work, but they've successfully added people into the relationship and they've made it. I don't know. So I'm definitely locked into this, and I want to see how this goes with this Teresa girl, because it seems to be going well, but I also know that when things are going well, they're usually not. So I'm definitely locked in. And also, I learned that alpacas are polyamorous. So that was in the episode as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
So
the more you know, I felt like it was the learning channel, like legit the
right?
learning channel.
Learning about Reese, and I'm learning about alpacas, and I find out that alpacas males have nine girlfriends, and I'm like, yo, I am just learning shit tonight, right? Like, I did not know that. I did not know that alpaca males have like nine baby mamas. Like, I didn't know that. That is very interesting. And I thought it was very fitting for the show. I was like, look at that. It's men who have multiple wives and they go to an alpaca farm where the men have multiple wives. So I was like, very, very fitting. I felt like the producers did such a great job, right? I was like, pat on
Yeah.
the back, pat on the back. That was really good.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, so Matt and Angelica, I'm pretty sure are new, right? Like, I don't remember them
They
from.
are. I don't remember them from last season.
Yeah, so they're new. So we're getting to know them, and they're a 14-year couple, 5 years married, two kids, and they're dating a girl named Shanae, who lives an hour away. Which I don't know, because an hour away isn't that far. Like where I live, an hour away is going to Costco. But for them, apparently the hour away is destroying their relationship. Like it's not working. And on the first episode, it kind of seemed like they were breaking up, right? Because Shanae basically said if they can't make this work and she gets more time and becomes an actual part of their family, she's gonna have to bail. So we met them on that episode, and I kind of feel like they're breaking up on that episode. So it's definitely not looking good. Because for me, an hour is not that far, Gina. Like an hour, that's like going to Costco for me. Like an hour is pretty standard drive.
Yeah, that's or meet at the middle point for like 30 minutes or whatever.
Well, yeah. So the idea that it won't work, because I was like, somebody's just gonna have to commute for an hour. Right? Like, just all of y'all move in together and somebody's just gonna have to drive to work and make that commute. Like it's not that hard. And I know that there's two families. So there's I think two kids on one end and then one kid on Shanae's end. And I know integrating, but they say the younger the kid, the better if you want to uproot their lives. So I was like, maybe Shanae should move to where they are. And while her daughter is younger, switching schools is hard regardless on a child. But they say the younger they are, the less they'll remember and the less traumatizing it will be than if you uproot the child and they're like in high school or middle school and they've established friend groups and connections. You want to do it because younger kids seem to be a little less attached. When move to a new house, move to a new school, they can adapt a little better. But when someone has been in the same place for a long time and you uproot them, that's going to make it much more difficult. So I think me, I'm all about solutions. I was like, somebody's going to have to bite the bullet, pack up, and move. So I don't know who wants to do it. Matt, Angelica, Shanae, somebody's got to bite the bullet, and y'all all got to be in one house. And if not in one house, y'all should live like a few streets between each other and make this work. Right? Like it's if you really want to make it work, somebody's gonna have to compromise.
Exactly, because that's what like a relationship is based on compromise. And when you add another person into it, you're involving three or four other people into it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not I feel like it's not a relationship ending problem, an hour away. Like you said, halfway point, I was like, yeah, maybe one of them should move to a house that's 30 minutes closer to the other, and then they'll just be a 30-minute distance, right? Like leave the house you're in that's an hour away, and move to a house that's 30 minutes between each other. And then, like you said, you'll be at a halfway point for each other. And the 30
Exactly.
your either your commute.
Exactly. And then we have, what is it, the Mayfields? I want to say Mayfields, but I'm probably, it's probably wrong.
The Merrifields, so Garrick and
Merrifields.
well, Garrick and Danielle had a new baby. I don't know if you remember that. They had a new baby in between the seasons, and they have now brought home like their second or third Brazilian,
I
right?
know. I don't know what it is with him and these Brazilian chicks where the rest of the couples, like, they've all found somebody local.
Which I know, which makes it so much easier. There's no K-1 visa. You don't have to divorce your spouse. It makes it so much easier when you find a local person. But Garrick, he doesn't seem to be interested in anyone local. And he seems to be only zeroed in on one country in specific, in general, Brazil. That's the only place that he looks for wives. He doesn't seem to be interested in any other woman in any other place. She's got to be Brazilian, which is ironic because his wife Danielle is not Brazilian, but it just seems like that is his main preference. It's a Brazilian or no one. But they met Lorena and brought her back to, oh my gosh, I think they live in Colorado. Am I right? I think it's Colorado. And she's definitely trying to fit into the household. But I think it's going to be a culture shock because where she's from in Brazil, she said that she lived like close to everything. Everything was walkable. And where the Merrifields are living, they kind of live in the country, like in the sticks, you know, like in the woods. And that's one thing I remember when I went to Connecticut. We were driving from the airport, and I just remember seeing trees and trees and more trees. And I was just like, where do the people live? So I definitely know that it's going to be a little difficult for her to go from living in the city where everything is walkable and everything is happening right around you to living in the middle of the sticks, you know, because every horror movie is set in the middle of the sticks, Gina, right? So it's not everyone's number one priority to move into the woods. So I don't know how she's gonna do with that. And then she's got to actually transition into there's a full-on family. They have like sons, there's a daughter. There's like a lot of transition into this for her. And she seems really young, Gina. Like, I don't know how old they said she was, but I don't know how she's gonna fit into this family because Garrick and Danielle are not as young as her. And I feel like she's gonna have to transition into living with older people, you know, with older children. And I feel like they always go about it based on how pretty the girl is instead of how well she would fit into their lives, if that, right?
Yeah, no, it makes sense because it's always what he wants.
That's true.
And like it's not about her, what she wants or what she's looking for, and she just goes with the flow. I for half of these women, I don't even know what kind of juice that these men are feeding them, from Garrett to Nick feed, like I really don't know what kind of juice that these men are feeding these women to make it think that it's okay, like the situation that they're in is okay.
I mean, a lot of people online are saying the same thing. They're like, what are these women seeing in these men, right? And
Right. At least Garrett works for her, I think his brother-in-law's company or something like that. At least
oh,
he
yeah.
works,
Garrick,
but
and he makes good money. Garrick is definitely doing well for his family. And, you know, I think when it comes to Brazilian women, I don't want to stereotype anything, but I know that they definitely are looking for a well-to-do man, a man that can provide.
yes.
You know, I know it's part of the culture where the women want to be taken care of, and how well a man can provide is very attractive to women from those particular countries. So I think that Garrick is able to bag a lot of these women simply because he does well. I think he builds homes. Is what the business that he does with Danielle's brother. And you know, that's a very lucrative business because any neighborhood in any city in any state is growing right now. America is growing. And there's a lot of people moving from state to state or city to city. There's always a new neighborhood being built because, you know, we're just a growing country where growth.
New de like new developments are always being built.
And that's his business. So, and I think that he becomes much more attractive to a lot of women because of that level of success. So I know, Gina, when you look at him, you're like, ooh, no. But to a lot of women, that level of success and the way that he can provide for people, is attractive to those women. I think it has a lot to do with that. But
Yeah, me
I don't know
too.
how this is going to work, because since we've been watching the Merrifields, Gina, we've been watching them for like a lot, season after season after season. And
Every season.
what's the one thing that they always do? They tend to run the women away, right?
Yeah, because it's I like, and then she cries about it, and then they go on their next Brazilian bombshell adventure.
It's almost like Groundhog Day at this point. We watch them fall in love. They're so happy and excited about this particular woman. Then all of a sudden, she ghosts them. That's kind of like, it's like we're watching the same thing over and over, and it's almost making you ask the question, like, what are you guys doing to run these women away? Because we've seen you run so many different women away. When they start naming off all the different women, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. I remember that one. It's so many different women that were all in at one point and then were all out. And it just makes you wonder what happened in between, right? Like, why was she all in and then she just disappeared and won't call you back? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously a them problem, not like because you keep driving these women away and it's for a reason. I think the last girl, I forgot her name, she found out that he was searching for more sister wives and she thought she was going to be the last one.
Well, yeah, he hadn't even really finished courting her. And that's what was really scary for her, because she was like, you're still getting to know me. And you're still telling me that you want to marry me. You've already began the search to find one after me. And I think that was really scary for her, because she was like, you're never going to be satisfied. We haven't even gotten married yet, and you're already looking for another one. And I think for, any woman, that doesn't make you feel secure. He's not even done courting you, and he's already looking for the next one. Like, I can't imagine any woman being super okay with the idea of, before he even finishes saying I do to you, he's looking for the next one to say I do to. That's it doesn't make you feel secure in the relationship.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I think that when is it ever enough, though? Because when I hear a lot of the guys on the show talking about, they're like, oh, we want to add another one, or we want to add another one. I was like, but is that going to be it? Like you said, is this going to, do you just want to add one more and then you're going to be happy? Or do you want to add one more and see how it goes? And then you want to add another one? Do you want to add another one? And I think that's what a lot of the women really need a cut straight answer to. Like, when is the right amount of wives when we're just going to be happy and live our lives? And I think a lot of times the men can't answer that.
Exactly, because I think they don't even know.
Well, no. I mean, men like new shiny things, right? Like when a man gets a new car, he's in love with that car. When he gets a new truck, he's in love with that truck. He gets a new pair of boots. If you're from Texas, you're in love with those boots. Men like new shiny things. So when you put it to the idea of new shiny ladies that you can have, men are never going to be satisfied. That's the whole, you never know what you have until you don't have it situation. You might have everything you need in your wife, but you see another woman and think that she has something that you want, and then you realize you never are going to be satisfied with just what you have. You're always going to be looking for more.
Exactly. You're always going to be greedy and want more.
That's why I think that watching this show, we've seen so few successes. I think the Davises are like one of the only successes, right? Like, they've successfully been three and now four. Since I think the beginning, it was three of them, and they've successfully done it. And they've successfully had kids. They've successfully moved from a small house to a bigger home. They've integrated their families. They've like the only ones that have successfully made this work. And I don't see any real bickering or hatred or fighting or animosity. I do see that they have issues, but I think in this situation, anyone will have issues. But at the end of the day, I haven't seen anyone run away. I mean, Danielle did run away, but to be fair, she was a new one, in the beginning, it was Jennifer and Nick and what was her name? April. And they've made it work, you know, and I feel like maybe that's enough, right? Like
Yeah.
maybe that's the right number. 'Cause if you can't seem to like with Garrick and Danielle, they can't seem to add a third. And I was like, maybe two is the right number. Maybe you can't make it work with three because two is the right number, right? And maybe you're never gonna get that to work because it's not the right amount of people for that situation.
Exactly. And then I think one of them is pregnant, either Jennifer or April is pregnant. That's what I saw in the
Girl, what? I didn't see that. So
preview. Yeah.
baby, did no wait no Garrick and Danielle had a baby. Oh, okay, so one of the Davises is pregnant. Okay,
Yeah.
see that they're definitely making it work. They've stayed together and they're having kids. They're integrating their families. I think if we had a poster child of how it should be done, the Davises are writing that book, right? They're showing people that not only can it be done, but we're doing it. And I think they're
And
the
it's local, and everyone is in the same country, not like in Brazil.
Well, yeah, nobody needs a K-1 visa. And, you know, and Nick is smart. He has all of his wives marry each other. So he's not
Yeah.
married to anyone. And he also said something really interesting yesterday. He said, I make sure that all of my wives have an independent career and they make their own money. So if they ever, you know, wake up one day and decide they don't want to be in this situation, they're not stuck in it because they can't afford to leave. And I really respected that, Gina, because a lot of situations where women will get into a marriage with a man and then the man is going to go to work and make money and then she might be staying home and taking care of their kids, she might feel stuck. Because if she decides, oh, I don't want to be in this relationship, she doesn't have the revenue, the income to make that situation happen. And then he, you know, being in charge of the money and the finances, she might feel stuck. So I was like, I do respect the idea that he makes sure that each woman has a way out if they want to leave. I do respect that. So, because at the end of the day, you know, this might be something you like doing when you're younger. And then maybe when you get older, you're like, I don't want to be sharing a husband with three other women. Like there could be a situation where a woman decides that she's outgrown this lifestyle and he makes sure that she can leave seamlessly, which I think is really good.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see what happens. It's not a boring show.
No, I love this show, right? I love this show. It's not ideal. It's super different. And I think Reese is the wild card this season because the show was already interesting, but throwing Reese and Billie Jean in the cards, I think producers bravo on that because I was locked in. When their scene came on and they were the opening scene of episode one, I was like, I'm already hooked. I was like, well, I'm already.
Lady, yeah, I know. It's just like, oh, you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, I was like, first of all, this show is insane in itself, but you adding this wild card in here, I was like, y'all already got me. You know what to do to get me, and now I'm hooked. I can't wait. So we'll be keeping an eye on the show and talking about it with you guys. Thank you so much to Gina for joining me. And yeah, well, this was a TLC roundup show. We weren't able to do the individual shows like we did. We usually do during the week, so we threw it all together. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Gina, for joining me. And everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Good night. Bye.
Bye.